Everybody that loves the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
Brother Lucas, I guess I'll just use this microphone unless you want me to put the other one on. So whatever y'all think, whatever you think. Take your Bibles and go to the 130th Psalm. This is the Lord's day, and we want to honor the Lord. And if I know your pastor's heart, that Christ would have the preeminence in all things. But your Bible says, over in John 1, there was a man sent from God. His name was John. But I want to say this morning, I believe it's true, this church and so many people, there was a man sent from God. His name was Charles Lawson. I'm glad God sent us a man such as this into our lives and into our generation. It is scriptural to honor those to whom honor is due. And we come to honor God's man today. We know his heart is not to honor man as if honoring flesh. But we know his heart is to put Christ first and foremost. And that's just one of the many reasons we love that man. Thank God. 80 years. And that's just when Caleb was getting started. Give me this mountain, he said when he was 85. That's when God called Moses to go do his greatest work. At 80. I plan on a rocking chair at 70. But I could sure see God has done and will do great things with his man. And I know you're gathered here, and I appreciate the church honoring the man of God. 80-year birthday, 50 years here with the church. How many years preaching, Brother Lawson?
53.
And this is his 50th year at this church. Good heavens, it's a jubilee year. Jubilee year. I say we all enter in with him and just take the year off. Let's call Trump and get some extra money sent to us. That jubilee year, something mighty special is on the way. And if I understand right, someone told me 60 years, I think, of a wedding anniversary. 60 years, December the 9th, 60 years. I don't always clap in church, but I think God's been good to us, and God's been good to give us a man like this in our lives. I say we thank the Lord for it. You can be seated. We're going to look at the scripture. Our Father, we ask you, Lord, to bless the reading of the scriptures and bless the preaching of the book today. Lord, we are grateful for what your Son did for us on Calvary's cross. Our Father, I pray you'd breathe on this Lord's day. I pray you'd breathe on this assembly, this particular service, Lord, we ask you, Father, to let the Holy Ghost make Christ big today. Father, the needs in our hearts, the needs that are in your heart, Lord. What are your burdens, Father? What are your prayers? What is your desire, Father, in our midst? May that take prominence over all. Lord, thank you for this man of God, Brother Charles Lawson. Thank you for him. Thank you for giving him to this church. Thank you for giving him to this generation. All over the world, God, he's able to preach, and people listen. Father, use him and bless him even in days to come. Thank you for the days gone by. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. If you look under this Psalm 130 and 131 and 132 all the way up to 134, you'll see it says a song of degrees. These are the psalms of ascent. There are 15 of them. I'm starting maybe with 120, I'm not sure, probably. From 120 to 134, there are 15 of these psalms. Maybe there's a new Christian here that doesn't know what that means. Those songs of ascent, as they would make their pilgrimage to Jerusalem, and on the great feast day that all Israel would gather in Jerusalem. And these are the psalms they would sing and they would pray as they made their journey up to Zion's hill. I want to stop and thank God for Calvary's hill. Amen. Where he wore a crown of thorns, so that one day on Zion's hill, he'll wear a crown of crowns. There's a little sweet lady, Lola Cassidy, from Sweetwater, Tennessee. And she'd put on a big old accordion and come down through the camp meeting trails, all in the South and down there when I pastored in Florida. And she'd walk through the old meetings and up and down the sawdust meetings, and she'd play that accordion and sing, "Someday I shall stand on the top of Mount Zion, and I'll get to look into Canaan's fair land." Amen. I really enjoyed how God let Brother Lawson preach to me and to our generation all the prophecy and all of the studies in the middle. I'm so glad I dropped off all them study notes through the years that help enhance him a little bit. You know that's right. Oh, someday we shall stand on the top of Mount Zion. I'm interested in these last five. And I know we've got food waiting on us, so that means we don't have anywhere to go. No evening service? Y'all really ain't got nowhere to go. And so I'll be done here at 12 or 1 or 2 or 3. If all y'all go up there and eat, don't eat all of mine now. These five psalms, Brother Lawson, they were the last ones. And I did a little digging and studying, and there were 15 stairs, and I know your preacher's been over there so many times to the Holy Land. And as you make that final climb and you get in Jerusalem and head up to the temple, there are 15 stairs going up finally into the main holy place. The women's court, some of them called it the sanctification court. The main entrance, 15. And they said the tradition became that they would stand on the stair and sing one of these psalms. the 15 of them, and go up to the second one and sing the second one. And what the Lord brought my interest in was them last five. And if you'll enter in with me just for a moment, I'd wonder what God's people would be singing on them final few steps. Taking the last few steps to the top of the hill. Y'all ain't helping me. I'll throw these flyers at you. Thank God one of these days we'll take our last few steps and we'll be home. One of these days we'll take them last few steps and we'll be to the top of the hill. Woo! One of these days we'll take those last few steps and we'll be at the house of God like we've never been before. I bless the Lord for it. Thank God. Brother Lawson, we're not going to try to bury you today. But them last few steps. Taking those last few steps. I wonder what their mind was on. Well, the Lord gave it to us. Here's the last few. Let me take them for just a moment and hit the highlights. We don't need to be too expository, exegetive, exhaustive here, but to just hit these five with exhortation. Wonder what God had on their mind the last few steps before they got home. Number one's in Psalm 130. Taking them last few steps, they were praising God for pardon. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. And he prayed there. Verse 3, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Is there one here that's without sin? Go ahead and get your stones ready. Is there one here without sin? If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? I love what it says next, but there is forgiveness with thee. Woo! That thou mayest be feared. He's the only one that can forgive sins. But there is forgiveness with thee. And Brother Lawson, as they made them, and I sitting over there a while ago, and I couldn't help but notice, there's five stairs before you get to the top. One, two, three, four, five. If I still had my balance, I'd stand there and preach each song. But I need something to lean on. I want to thank God taking the final few steps to the end of the road. We can stop and thank God for the day he saved us. For the day he forgave us. For the day he washed us. For the day he cleansed us, the day he redeemed us, the day he ransomed us, the day he justified us. Thank God the day he regenerated us, the day he made me a child of God. Woo! You better believe I'm wanting to preach every one of these psalms an hour apiece. They're Americans, Brother Lawson. I don't know if they could take it or not. Oh, thank God. My final few steps to the house, I think, we'll probably be thinking about how he saved us. You know, you've been, and I was talking to sister about her mother who used to play the organ. One thing about elder people, when they get to the end of time, only two things they can see when they're saved. They can see eternity and they can remember their childhood. A lot of time they can't remember last week. A lot of time they can't remember the last hour. But they'll go back to that childhood. When you get to the end, you always go back to the beginning. Amen. And God does everybody a favor that lives out through their old age. He'll bend you down and humble you down. Bring you back so you can enter eternity at least humbled. But I'm going to tell you one thing, brother. If we can't
You can remember a lot of things, but I don't ever want to forget how the Lord saved me. Amen. Out of the depths. The man that wrote Amazing Grace. You've read about it a lot, I'm sure. John Newton. We've been able to go stand in his church in England. They got a lovely stained glass window there, Brother Lawson. It's probably 25 feet high. Next to the pulpit where he preached, John Newton, Amazing Grace, had been a slave ship captain. And I read in depth his biographies and autobiography. And how even in those running those slave ships, and how did have the blood of men on his hands. And unspeakable things happened in those poor women in the bottom of them ship coming over on slave ship. Unspeakable atrocities. Yes. And he had that sin on him. And he had that guilt on him. And he had that shame on him. There's a beautiful stained glass there next to his old pulpit that they made for him. And all of the stained glasses windows contained pictures. We got to stand in John Bunyan's church, and you ought to have seen them beautiful. Five stained glasses on either side taking you through Pilgrim's Progress. And the one where the warrior was killing the dragon. I had me some extra happy bubbles right there. I don't know if anybody ever shouted in Bunyan's church, but it happened that day. Jennifer was yanking my arm. Calm down. Quieten down. Oh, bless the Lord. And they got a beautiful little picture, Brother Lawson, there, John Newton. And there's in that stained glass, a ship in a storm being tossed in the awful storm. And then there's a picture next to it of a ship coming into a peaceful haven. Thank God they told his little life story there. And John Newton is on record. I got to go up in this attic. You climb up in the loft of his home. And over the study I had read that it said there is this, "But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt." Yeah. And it's still there. They said the last sermon he ever preached, he forgot he was an older man and his mind was nearly gone. John Newton stood up to preach and he forgot who he was. He forgot where he was. He stood there a moment, disoriented. And then the pastor, he stepped up and patted him on the back, spoke to him for a moment. And Brother Newton turned around and said, "I'm so sorry, people." He said, "I can't remember anything." He said, "But every morning when I wake up, two things I remember. I remember that I was a great sinner, but Christ was a great Savior." Amen. Thank God there is forgiveness with thee. Out of the depths, a picture of a man crying from the bottom of the ocean. Verse 3, "If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities," a picture of a guilty man in a courtroom. And then down around 5 or 6, it speaks about they that wait for the morning. They that watch for the morning, those coming out of a long dark night. Could you imagine being in Egypt that night when the death angel passed over? Three pictures of forgiveness. Yeah. Brother Lawson, I just ran into this little nugget. Ran into some preachers, been studying this, and they wondered out loud, did Jonah write this psalm? "Out of the depths have I cried. The gates of hell, the bars of the bottoms of the mountains, on the bottom of the ocean." Oh, you can't prove it, but it might be so. A lot of the language matches Jonah. And I'm glad God forgives backslid preachers. I'm glad God forgives old wretched sinners. I'm glad God will forgive a Pharisee. He goes to all ends of the spectrum. There is forgiveness with thee. taking them last few steps, they were thanking God for forgiveness. Number two, go to the next psalm. Taking them last few steps, they were thanking God for peace. Oh, do you know the Lord's only one that can give you love, peace, and joy? Peace I give you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. A peace that the world can't take away. Look at this 131st Psalm. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise. I stopped right there and said amen. I don't either. Amen. Bodily, down at the motel the other day, and they was all there in the window, and they were working and sweating, and I got me a plate full of gravy and bacon. I stood at the window, just faced them. Every one of them just looked at them. This is a great moment in my ministry. Amen. I just said, we're all going to die. That's what I said. Enjoy. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Hey, y'all, just one moment here. You and I are living in an hour where there are some great matters going on around us. And there's a lot of things that are above our pay grade. I want to give you a little scriptural advice here. Why don't we leave the high things to God? Let's take care of the low things he's given us to take care of. He'll take care of the high things. And he said, surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. Why don't you grow up into a little maturity? Verse 1, why don't you get a little humility? There's things going on, honey. And listen, if you've got cancer, leukemia, those things are too high for us. The Lord's the only one that can touch those things. What's happening in the nations? What's happening in the end times? Those things are beyond our pay grade. Why don't you behave and quiet yourself like a weaned child? Fill yourself with the milk from the old and the new and be weaned. Look what he said in verse 3. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. That little henceforth. From this time and this place. I got news for you. He's going to take care of forever, and he's going to take care of right now. Amen. I'm glad we can have peace. We can have peace on this last leg of the journey. He's taking care of things that I can't. He takes care of things in the church. It's his church. He takes care of things in your life. You're his. He'll make sure there's enough meal in the bottom of the barrel. Oh, number 3 is in Psalm 132. David was praising God for his pardon. He's praising God for his peace. And then he's praising God for his presence. This is the ark where he rejoices when he brought the ark back to Jerusalem. Look what he said in verse 1 and 2. Lord, remember David. Look at verse 2. He swore unto the Lord, vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob. Verse 3, David said, surely I will not come up. I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I'll not give sleep to mine eyes, nor slumber to mine eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord. And habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. In verse 8, arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Brother, I wish some Americans would get on fire with this. I'm not going to take care of my house, David said, until we take care of God in his house. All right, y'all are not with me. I'll try again. David said, I don't need to worry about getting in my house until we make sure that God is in his house. Haggai chapter 1, the prophet rebuked them. All of you taking care of your sealed houses, and you've neglected the house of the Lord. Nothing there but a foundation, and you've walked away and got caught up in your own house. Brother Lawson, this verse here, verse number 6. Lo! We heard of it at Ephrata. Yeah. We found it in the fields of the wood. Amen. That thing burned in my soul for decades. Amen. One of the reasons that I thank God he allowed me to attach myself to you, Brother Lawson, decades ago. To find an old man of God that hadn't sold out and hadn't burned out. Amen. And he still got that joy of youthfulness on him this morning. Amen. I heard of it as a young man. We heard of the power of God. We heard of the presence of God. We heard of the moving of God. We heard of mighty visitations of God. We heard of his power, heard of his miracles, heard of his wonders among his people. We heard of it. And David said, I'm going to find it. I'm going to find it. Brother, that's been the breadth and depth and length and height of my soul and my heart. That's been the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and the soul of the man of God that God gave y'all around here for half a century. To find him. To get him. To win him. To have him. To know him. To touch him. For him to come in our midst. Nobody inquired after that ark in the days of Saul. Boy, it is not good to be in a church or in a home or in a kingdom where pride rules. Amen. Where we rely on the strength of men. Amen. Where we choose the tall and the beautiful. Oh, my. Nobody wanted God in the days of Saul. But David come along and said, we got to have him. Amen. We've got to have him. We've got to have him. We've got to have him. He was praising God for his presence. In church, we got to have him. Somebody better just drop all of your business and go take care of his. We got to have him. Number four. Number four is in Psalm 133. Them last few steps home, they were praising God for his pardon. And for his peace and for his presence. But then in the 133rd Psalm, they were praising God for those pourings. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now look at me wanting to stop and drop the plow and preach an hour. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren. I'm glad I know who the brethren are. I'm glad I'm one of the brethren. Now don't rely on me to tell you whether you're saved or not. It's not how it works, but I swan it to you. I know that I'm saved and I know some of you are saved. How's that? We know, 1 John, that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. Well, you got to know who some of them are if you're going to love them. Our spirit, that spirit, Romans 8, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. 1 John 4, somebody in this hour better learn to try the spirits. Not every steeple's really where a church meets. Not every preacher, matter of fact, most of them are fraudsters, hoaxsters, deceivers, false teachers, false apostles, false brethren. Matthew 24. Your pastors taught you so well and taught me and taught our generation about those prophetical things. The first answer. Lord, what will be the sign of thy coming and the time of the end? The first answer out of his mouth. And I put it in my little, there will be mass religious deception. Somebody better get over yourself and figure out who the brethren are. Somebody better get over yourself and figure out whether you're a brethren or not. Amen. If you're so easily deceived, do you not have the Spirit within you? Does he not teach you? Does he not warn you in this hour? That's 1 John 2.
I had a Brother Lawson at Heritage coming out of them North Georgia mountains 100 years ago. I had a great-great-grandfather, and they called, his name was David. They called him King David because he was so stern. He was an atheist. He was a mean man. Do you know men could be mean back in them old days, and they could get away with a lot of it? And I guess mean men are still mean, and some of them may be getting away with it. But back then, the good old days, they were not good to everybody. He was a hard man, mean man. They were having a fall revival, Brother Lawson, up in them mountains, one of them extended meetings. They were having a fall revival, and the evangelist was sleeping under the old log church. I appreciate y'all not putting me under a building last night. 3 funny thoughts just went through my head. He slept under that old log church house. He worked the fields in the mornings with everybody getting that final harvest. He go preach that night, and it's in the third week, and somebody, that old-timey preacher got a burden for my great-great-grandfather. Got a burden for him. And they started praying for him at the church. We need churches to get back to praying. He said, I'm going to go up there and visit him. Last name of Quarles. Up above Ellijay, Georgia. And he walked up there. And everybody warned him, he's a mean man. Now he may hurt you. He prayed before he went up there. They said he came around the corner and come up there. And my great-great-grandmother always wore white. White bonnet, white apron, white. Said it scared her. She went and hid, because when people come around, he'd be mean. It'd be bad for 2 or 3 days. Scared her, and she went and hid, and she peeked around the corner and said that preacher, the story that came down through the years, that preacher walked right up to him and said, King David, we're having a meeting down at the church, and folks are praying for you to get saved. They said he'd been loading a wagon of cabbage and had that thing nearly loaded, stacked up. Said King David turned white, and that preacher turned around and left. He said, I want you to come to the meeting, and turn around and left. And my grandmother said that as she looked, he froze for a while, standing there, and then said he took him 2 big old hands and grabbed 2 cabbage. And started unloading that wagon that he had just loaded. And she crept around there in a few minutes and said, King David, what are you doing? He said, we're going to unload this wagon. We're going down to that meeting tonight. She couldn't believe. They unloaded that wagon and went down. And they said, while that old-timey preacher was preaching, and he was an old mountain preacher, didn't have an education. He had something better than that. He had a knowledge of God. Said my grandfather, great-great, stood up in the back, and he just roared. He said, and here's what he said. He said, I'm passing from death unto life. He fell forward a little, and they caught him and drug him down and laid him on the altar, and God saved him. Woo! I didn't know I was going to tell that story, but I'm glad I did. I enjoyed that. Brethren, how good it is to dwell together in unity. One of the reasons we don't have a lot of unity in our church is we don't have many brethren. We got a lot of folks needing to be saved in our modern churches. He said this. He said, it's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment. What about that oil being poured out? And then he said, it's like the dew of Hermon, that Mount Hermon in the northernmost part. What is it, 10,000 foot high snow cap year round, picking up the clouds from off the Mediterranean, capturing them there, and the sun beats down on the Mediterranean Sea. and liquid goes into vapor, and vapor blows over and goes into solid three forms. And then that water comes down, forms the Jordan River. They tell me that there's three springs that come out of the top of Mount Hermon, and they join at the bottom. I'm going to say it like this and expect y'all to help me. Three become one at the bottom when it gets down to where the people live. And then that Jordan runs all the way down. 26 waterfalls, August Van Ryn said when he went over there and measured it. 26 waterfalls all the way down into the Dead Sea. The lowest spot on the face of the earth below sea level. And from the heavens all the way down to hell, Jesus came to where you and I were so that we could be saved. August Van Ryn said that where Jesus went in to be baptized was right between the 26 waterfalls. Y'all ain't helping me. 13 back up behind him and 13 down below him. 13, I know you've never had any Bible teaching around here hardly, but number 13 being the number of the Antichrist and the number of rebellion. And the old brother Van Ryn said he reached back in the old and got all of our rebellious falls. And then he reached down in the new and got all of our rebellious fallings. And he gathered them all up and bore our sins out in that 3 hours of darkness. And now the dew that comes from the heavens had descended on the Mount Zion. Honey, that's what we need in our churches. Need to be saturated with oil, saturated with dew. One thing I've loved about Brother Lawson, and I don't want to use the word hatred, but one thing I love about him is his hatred for religion. I don't know if hatred was the right word, but can't stand religion. That Pharisee looked at that publican, I thank thee, Father. I am not as other men are like this thing. Oh, but if that old publican smote himself, wouldn't even look to heaven. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'll be honest with y'all. I can't relate to the Pharisee, but I can relate to the publican. He's been merciful to me, a sinner. And we need our churches saturated instead of dead religion. The final one. Psalm 134. He's rejoicing. Them last few steps before he got to the top of the hill, he's rejoicing in peace and pardon. Rejoicing in his presence and in his outpourings. And in his rejoicing in his providence. Woo! Maybe I will preach an hour, Pastor. They didn't think I would. I might need to do it just so they know we will. They're nervous now. Look at this beautiful little. This may be the shortest chapter in the Bible. I'm not sure about that. Seems like maybe it is. There's another one might be. If it's not the shortest, it's top three shortest. You notice that last one before they got to the very top of the hill is real short? It's little. Y'all know right before we get home, that's just going to be a little thing we got to go through. Woo! I think sign my own Bible. I'm going to go over there and sign Brother Lawson's Bible. That feels so good. He didn't ask me, but he'll appreciate it later. Psalm 134, verse 1. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which, I'm interested in them next two words, by night stand in the house of the Lord. That last song is a night song. You reckon that last season might be a night season? It's dark. The days are done. Y'all ain't helping me. It's a midnight hour. Thank God for folks that are still making a stand in a night hour. I think it said, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. I'm glad in a dark night hour around this world, there's still some men of God standing. Amen. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. I don't care if anybody's there or not. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Amen. Young men, God called me to preach. Well, you got some young men piled up right here, Brother Lawson. Young men. I was 13, God called me to preach. I won't take that time to tell you that story. He called me to preach on a Thursday night in an old-fashioned meeting. Saturday, I was mowing my papa's yard. He is an old mountain preacher. Circuit riding, overhauls. He come out on that front porch, looked at me mowing his yard, and he was down there looking strong. Nobody had told him anything. I cut the little mower off and come back over there, sir. He's standing out there looking at me. Sir, he said, God's called you to preach, hadn't he? He had him an old rock altar up on the mountain. And he went up there 50 years, morning and evening. He said, come in here, son. We went there and sat down, and pardon me a moment, he cleaned out a couple of things. Now, boy, I can't walk you through that talk. It'd take 2 hours, but he said this, if you're going to be a preacher, and he was a man of few words, you're going to preach, son? Yes, sir. Ding! He leaned back in that chair and looked out that window at that maple tree. I looked at him while he looked at that tree, and he talked. He said, if you're going to be a preacher in this hour, he said, it's the midnight hour, son. The Lord's fixing to come back. He said, it's the midnight hour. He said, Dane, what do people do at midnight? He said, at midnight, good people go to sleep and bad people go to sin. And he said, the hour you live in, son, the good people are going to be asleep and the bad people are going to be in sin. You're not going to have much business. He said, but son, we're not in it for the business. We're in it for the boss. Amen. Which by night, you may be in that last step before you reach home. It's a short one, but it's a long one. That night time can be a long time. He said, lift up your hands over there and bless the Lord. And he said, I know you feel real little and feel real lonely in that night season down at the house of God, but look what he said in verse 3. The Lord that made heaven and earth. There's a big God who rules over all of this. Amen. That made heaven and earth bless thee out of Zion. Them last few steps before we get to the top of the hill. I want you to bow your heads. I want us to stand. I want a pianist to come and softly play. We'll not need to sing, but we can play. I want to open up this altar. I want to open up this altar. How many of you are hungry for the presence of God? Would you come and let's pray for revival? Not the showy, charismatic kind, but a real heavenly visitation from God. I mean, help me pray for the power of God, the presence of God, a visitation of God. How many of you young men and young ladies, as up here singing a while ago, you young men and young ladies, would you come and bow the knee and say, Lord, if you need me to start filling the shoes, if you need me, God, call me. Here am I, Lord, send me. To hold up the arms of a Moses and to be a Joshua in the battle. How many of you young men to come down here and pray with me? And you young ladies, you can softly play. And while they play, I want us to come and make prayers. Anybody here lost without Christ? If you're lost without Christ, come to be saved. Come to Christ. He'll save you. Come to the Lord Jesus.
He started the church age saving sinners. He's going to end the church age still saving sinners. Come to Christ. Come to Him.